Podtacular Episode 8, September 8th, 2005. Well, hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Podtacular,
the unofficial Halo 2 podcast.
Hoping you level up and stay there. And we have a very special guest in the Podtacular studios today.
Very special. We'd like to welcome virtual studio.
Virtualstudio.com, Podtacular. So we'd like to welcome Major Nelson to the show today.
Gentlemen, how are you? How are you guys doing? I need help leveling up. Can you help me?
We can.
That's what we're here for.
That's what I got to tell you guys. I was telling a little bit off the air. This is actually my very first co-hosting position that I've done, and I'm thrilled that you guys invited me onto your show. I'm a big fan of your show and what you guys are doing over here.
I got my own show
over at MajorNelson.com and my own thing going on, but I'm so thrilled to be over here and just let's kick back with you guys for a little while and talk about Halo. Plus, you know, I don't have to edit this show together, so woo, let's go.
Awesome. Well, Major, can you tell everybody a little bit about who you are, what you do, and why you want to?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is, my gamer tag is Major Nelson on Xbox Live. My real name is Larry Herb. My official title, as it says on my business cards, is the Director of Programming for Xbox Live. So what that means is I'm actually sitting here in Xbox land over at Microsoft in Redmond, Washington, and my job is to really communicate with a lot of the users like yourself and the fans and the members of Xbox Live, and bring that knowledge and passion and the concerns and whatnot back to the product group. And conversely, I talk to the product group and kind of communicate back down to the users, because we have a really fanatical user base and fan base. So I actually think I have one of the cooler jobs in the world, because I get to do a lot of different things. You know, I've got fingerprints all over the website, and I do a lot of different special programming and promotions and whatnot. So basically, I get to, you know, contrary to popular belief, I don't sit around and play games all day, although a lot of people won't believe that. But, you know, gaming is only one part of it. The other part is, what is the community, and how do I build the community to make the Xbox Live community one of the best damn gaming communities and online gaming communities on the Internet and in the world? So there you have it.
Heck yes.
Outstanding. So, wow, that's great. And when you say director of programming, you don't mean programming as in typing out code and such, right?
Right. That's what a lot of people think, is that when I say I'm the director of programming, they're like, oh, what code have you written? No. Programming, like if you think of programming like the programming on television or the programming in a radio station. So it's events. For instance, I do the mystery game, or I do a bunch of different events like that. So it's programming in the thinking of cool content kind of sense, not the sitting in a corner and writing code. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
There's nothing wrong with sitting at your computer for 14 hours a day, like editing podcasts and whatnot. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. So that kind of sums it up what I do.
Awesome. Outstanding. Well, we really appreciate you having you here and telling you guys.
I will be fine. Let's have some fun.
I have a rumor that I need to... I heard that you're a modder. is this true? I heard that, like, yeah, Major Nelson totally modded to get his level.
You know what? That's absolutely incorrect. If you look at my level in Halo 2, I think I'm a 23 in Big Team. I actually earned that for a while there, like most of the summer. We were playing every night for a long time. But, you know, I earned every single thing, every single level I have, and conversely, I think I was up to level 25, so now I'm back down to 23. What's funny is I play in the evenings with a lot of the guys from the Xbox team and a lot of people on my friends list, and it's so funny when I've got everybody on the team, literally the head of operations, the head of Xbox Live, the head of our billing department, the head of our test team, so, and they're all in the room, we're playing together, and then, you know, when we win, we get out to the lobby, and the guys are, oh, you modded, and I'm like, what are you guys talking about? I mean, why can't you accept it that there may be somebody better than you at this game? So it's absolutely incorrect. I earned every damn level I have.
Well, we're glad to hear that. We're sick and tired of those modders.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are too.
I can imagine.
How do you guys deal with it? Is there someone that's in charge of banning people?
Sure. Well, you know, it's all based on, you know, there's a couple things, a couple data points. You know, I can't really speak on the Bungie side of it because we provide Xbox Live service, as a partner with them, you know, in terms of they utilize our service and they, you know, as a way for people to play Halo 2 online. So they've got their whole mechanisms for doing banning with out of matchmaking. And then, so that's kind of a what we call a mid-level ban. And then there's the higher level ban, in other words, where you can be banned off the entire service where, you know, you may not be able to play Halo 2 or Rainbow Six or any of the titles that are enabled on Xbox Live. So we're kind of at the service level. So if you think of it like, you know, whereas Halo 2 is kind of like the county and we're the state or the government, you know, if you look at that type of hierarchy, we're the FBI or the CIA when we come knocking on your door and ban your ass. So but really to be honest with you, it's all done on feedback. So all the feedback that people submit in the game across various games, we use that, and there's a whole algorithm and a team of people that look at that and decide how who's going to get banned and for how long and so forth.
Wow.
Outstanding. So if someone mods against you, the best way to counter is to send negative feedback, right, about mods?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's exactly what I do. And so I've had people mod, you know, before the last auto update, people were modding me all the time. Not me personally, but just because it was running a little bit rampant. So it's exactly what I did is I sent in negative feedback.
Okay. Also heard about a email that we should be sending things to. Should we do both? Should we do one or the other?
So basically the email, which is, I think it's Halo 2, I don't even, H2Cheats at Microsoft.com, which is basically, if you see people that are cheating and the Bungie team kind of looks at that. And then, you know, if you're playing the game and you see some modding, you should send the feedback. So to answer your question, yeah, you should definitely do both.
Excellent. Okay. Real cool. So how does Xbox Live interact with Bungie as far as dealing with the day-to-day multiplayer stuff?
So it's really, you know, the way we've designed Xbox Live is it's an amazing service that scales. I mean, we've got over 2 million people on the service right now that are signed up. So it's growing every day. So we really look at them as a partner, much like we look at Ubisoft, who is a major, major partner, or Electronic Arts is another major partner of Xbox Live. They're another partner. They're a very important partner. They've got a very popular game. So really, we work very closely with them in terms of our operations team talks to them and says, okay, well, you guys want to change the playlists, and they talk about how they're going to do that. So people think, oh, you could just go in and flip a bit. It's really easy. Well, no, it's not when you're dealing with servers that are around the world and millions, you know, hundreds of thousands of people playing your game and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of care and caution that has to take place when you're rolling out changes. So we work very closely on a day-to-day basis with them, depending upon whether it's changing the playlist or doing the downloadable content. So it depends what the subject is, but we absolutely work very closely with them.
Great, okay. I guess another question I had is kind of moving towards the Xbox 360, which I know, especially, or at least I'm really pumped about. I can't wait till that comes out.
Is Spellcheck not, is he not pumped? Is that what you're telling me?
I don't know. I'm just saying I can't speak for other people.
I don't know. That PS3 is looking pretty nice.
you know, that's the PS3, I'm sure, is going to be a nice little gaming machine that's going to be able to, you know, cook your hamburgers and cost $1,000. So we'll see.
Definitely. And you can throw the controller as a boomerang and come right back to you, so it'll be nice.
Yeah, exactly. But, anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. So you're excited about the Xbox 360. Spellcheck's not.
Apparently.
That Revolution's looking pretty dumb, too. So.
I love how you can drop the disc in there and it doesn't even eject. It's really cool.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, good feature. But
anyway.
So Xbox 360, a couple of things that strike me as awesome, listen to your podcast about it, just the way that you guys put so much care into the whole way that Xbox Live is going to work with the Xbox 360, the gamer zones, the gamer cards, the reputation, all those different things that really help everybody to get in the right gaming experience that they want to be in. And yeah. I just think it's fantastic. And I guess my question related to that is, how does that tie in to our experience, and how does it, for those that don't know, how does it enhance the way the experience is now?
So the key to remember is that all of these nifty new things that we're building, the gamer card and the profile and the gamer zone and so on and so forth, as you just mentioned, all of those elements are going to be available for Xbox 360 games moving forward. So they're really, there's nothing that they can add to the existing games for many, many reasons. You know, you will have an enhanced experience in terms of what you'll be able to do in some of the backwards compatible games. We really haven't talked that much about it, and I can't really say much more about it. Mm-hmm. But the key to remember is that all these cool things you'll have in the Xbox 360 games moving forward. And you know what we did is we looked really long and hard at what are some of the issues on Xbox Live and how can we make them better? And that's really what we focused on, and we've been working for a couple of years on that. I mean, I can remember some of the very first meetings on how do we make matchmaking better? And so now we're doing that. It's going to be much, much better. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, definitely. And I'm pumped about those changes because, I mean, being able to basically all the problems with we deal with jerks and matchmaking and stuff now, I mean, those would be so much minimized by being able to get into the right zone and deal with people with the right reputation and all that stuff. Right. I'm just very excited about that.
Not only that, but, you know, and we're totally aware because we know that the gamers as a whole, generally speaking, tend to be a very, snaky bunch in terms of they're going to try to manipulate the system. And we've actually built the entire system to be able to be changed accordingly so that if people start doing one thing that is kind of giving wrong results, we're going to be able to tweak things on our back end. So there's a lot of the entire system was built to be flexible.
Fantastic.
I got one more question too.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I heard rumors that like it's going to take like you're going to pay like a service fee to get your Xbox Live account for the 360. Now, would it be better for me like to go out and buy like a 3-month as opposed to getting a 12-month and having to convert it later?
So I'm sorry. So your question is there a service fee to convert your account?
Yeah, to over to the.
Well, that's a good one. I hadn't heard that one before.
Yeah.
No, if you sign up for an account today, a 12-month account today, you will instantly become what we're calling the gold level of service. And there's the gold and the silver level of service. And I don't know if you guys mentioned this, but we're taping this, we're recording this today on the 8th of September, and we actually announced some prices today in the new Xbox Live pricing scheme and what that's available. So you can go up to xbox.com and take a look at that. I have a link on my blog at majornelson.com, which, you know, it's the latest post. But the key to remember is that there's no service fee. Is that, you know, oh, you got an Xbox 360, it's going to cost you, you know, $2 to convert. No, that's not the case at all. Absolutely not. In fact, so if you buy an account today, when you get your Xbox 360 this holiday season, you will be able to seamlessly transfer your account over at no cost.
Sweet. Outstanding. And one question that I assume it's clear now, but I just want to make absolutely sure, will Halo 2 work on the Xbox 360?
Well, we haven't announced details on that yet, and we'll be probably announcing some backwards compatibility details hopefully sometime soon. But I will say that I think I mentioned this probably about a few months ago, that yes, I've played it, and yes, it works. So that's all I can say.
Excellent. I've heard you and others mention that it's, you know, it's high priority to get some of the top games working on Xbox 360 and get that backwards compatibility working, and we appreciate all the efforts you guys are putting out towards that. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing some of the work they're doing. I mean, sometimes I think I mentioned this earlier off the air, because I've got an Xbox 360 right here in my office. I'm playing with the controller right now. When I think of what happens, the code that these guys have written to make this thing sing, it is amazing. And I haven't even played many games on it yet. I mean, this thing is an amazing combination of software and services and hardware. So we're really, really excited about it. And I think you guys are just gonna love it when you get it in your hands.
I was like crying with joy when I saw the MTV special. I was like, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, you know, so you saw the MTV special, which frankly really wasn't targeted to you. That was more of a broad audience, you know. Then we have this other thing that came out, My Colony video.
Yeah, I saw that
which was really amazing. And you know what? It's Jay Allard, who's down the hall from me. Jay wanted to have a single vision for this box, to almost make it look like it was designed from the ground up, the software, hardware, and services by one person. And I think we're close to achieving that. If you look at it this way, people get really frightened when they think of, I'm going to have an Xbox 360, but I won't have the online experience because I live in, say, Oklahoma, and I may not have broadband.
Spell check.
So what happens if I don't have broadband? Well, you know what? The Xbox 360 kicks ass without broadband. It is a solid gaming machine. I look at it this way. The iPod, great device. But when you hook it into iTunes, it becomes an even cooler device. Same thing with the Xbox 360. The Xbox 360, damn straight, is a great device by itself, but when you hook it into Xbox Live, it becomes even cooler.
Outstanding. I understand you can hook up your PSP to that as well, right?
Yeah, well, you can plug a host of external devices to it. We hook an iPod to it, a PSP, and we can stream pictures and photos, or photos and music off of that. So, yeah, it works.
Take that, Apple! Ha!
So, yeah, we're pretty excited about it. I mean, this thing, it really does some really cool stuff. I feel like I'm talking about the 360 the whole time here, and we're not talking too much about Halo.
This is true. We got to jump into some Halo information here.
Have to jump into some clan news.
Got some clan news? Go ahead.
Okay. Here's the deal. A lot of people have been saying, hey, send me a clan request. Chances are you probably already got it. You just haven't checked yet. So if you're already in a clan, you're probably going to need to scroll all the way down to the bottom where it shows your pending invites, or at the top. Mine usually at the bottom. And
yours are at the bottom. Mine are usually at the top.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah, that's peculiar.
Yeah, I think mine are at the top too. Maybe he has the new update.
actually, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
The one we don't have, update number 55.
Yeah. AU 70.
Yeah, that one. Anyway.
So like you probably already got one. I sent out like 35 one night. So accept them because soon I'm going to just take them all off so we can make room for more people.
For real. Another thing about the clans is that we have updated membership requirements, guys. We mentioned before that your top level has to be a 15 or above to get into one of the podtacular clans. We have four of them now. And the thing is that when you go into the clan area next to your name, the number that shows there is your highest level of between Big Team Battle and Team Skirmish. So if you're like a 3 in Team Skirmish and a 1 in Big Team Battle because you never play it, then people are going to think you're level 3 altogether, and they're going to kick you from the clan. So level up, because you got to be level 15 or above to be in the clan, and without having to, you know, deal with more changes on that, we're kind of sticking with this. Because when you do play minor or major clan matches, which is kind of the point of being in a clan in the first place, you'll run into team skirmish games and big team battle type games. So, hey, you know, find some good people that are good at those game types and level up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What else we got here?
Sarge requests.
Dude, everybody wants to hear the Sarge.
Okay, here's the deal, all right? I don't mind doing them, but I need to have some time to build up my stuff again. So I'm saying this is, like, next show I'll do them. After that, I need some time to work on it. So, hold on, I got a couple. Hold on, wait. Open up Gmail real fast.
Have you heard of these, Major?
I indeed have, and I'm a little... You're not going to do one now, but that's okay.
No, I totally get it, dude.
I'll do one today.
Okay, we'll just sit here and kind of twiddle our
find it right now, and now it's like missing in action.
You know what? Maybe it'll pop up as we're.
Picks you up, and he says, "Don't worry." That
was quality, man.
It was quality. And picks you up, or just comes and
along here. So you can, we'll
just twiddle our.
I can't find it right now, and now it's like missing in action.
Well, you know what? Maybe it'll pop up as the show's moving along here. So we'll just put that one on the shelf, and maybe when you're feeling it, you can bring it on.
Good call.
Got it. I got it. Okay. It's from the tutorial part where Sarge comes and picks you up, and he says, "Don't worry, I'll hold his hand." Then that's it. I feel ashamed.
That was quality, man.
It was quality.
You're right. I don't think you're ready.
I was trying to make him feel better. Come on.
Someday.
He hates me now.
Ruin all my tries there.
Oh, well.
Well,
and everyone loves the whole, please don't shake the light bulb. I get that one, like, every day. So if you haven't heard it yet, there it is. So stop asking for it.
Yeah, in a nice way, if you're listening to the podcast and you want to hear Sarge requests, please listen to Sarge requests that have been already done.
Please.
just a request. A couple other things we have is we have the new playlists are here. Just came out, I believe, this past Wednesday.
And it takes forever to get into multi-team.
Yeah, for now. And I played a little bit of multi-team, and what did you guys think of that so far?
Awesome.
I enjoyed it. You know, it reminds me of some of the LAN parties that we have around here. I just had a great time with it.
Cool. I guess I kind of had a rough time because I lost.
Well, that'll certainly impact your experience.
That'll kind of mess things up sometimes. But
I thought the best part was, like, I was playing at Terminal with and the whole fact is unranked, so I could have a guest with me. Totally made me really happy. So really happy about that. I really like that. That was a fun time.
Way cool. Awesome. It's so cool that they now have the new maps integrated into the current game types as well, too. So finally, no more preview game types, and you just jump right in and have all the maps in there.
It's podtastic. Podtastic.
It's map-tacular.
No. I'm sorry. It's blogcast-tastic.
Aw, yeah.
Here we go with the blogcast again.
You're making fun of me. Is that what you're? Are you making fun of me with that blogcast? Is that what this is all about? I see.
Don't say the P word.
Hey, it is what it is.
It's all good. All right. Well, what do we have next?
Let's see. I got some errors from last show.
We don't make errors.
Well, according to the 27 emails I've gotten, apparently we did.
There are mispronunciations.
When we said Banshee, we meant Ghost. So if you can find the gas tank on the Banshee, let us know so we can prove them wrong. All
right? Right.
I don't think there is one.
Keep looking. Whatever. Zoom in with a sniper. Find one. We're not wrong. Promise.
Can I share with you my most amazing Banshee experience?
Share.
Totally.
So I'm a big Banshee fan, and everyone on my team knows it, so I get into that thing. And we were playing Blood Gulch one night, and one of our operations guys here is a Wraith maniac. And this guy is just unstoppable in the Wraith. He actually used to be in the Army and drive tanks, so he's got it in him. Anyway, we were playing, and I was getting jacked. And I swear to God, Rednex, who's the gamer tag of the guy that was driving the Wraith, blew this guy off my Banshee wing with the Wraith. It was,
nice.
And I was alive and he killed him. It was the most spectacular thing I have ever seen. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was, to this day we still talk about that one, so that's my Banshee story.
Awesome story.
Wow.
Sorry Very about cool. that. I'll let you guys get back on track.
No. Yeah, this is a team effort.
That's a good story. I have a good story too.
Yeah.
It's a modern story. So gather around, children.
We call them children, boy.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know, my little brother. I don't know. Anyways, here's the story. So one day, me and my brothers were playing a good old session of Team Slayer on Warlock before the Banhammer, and we all noticed that all four of the other guys suck. So after we get 12 kills to their one, which was actually a suicide with a sticky, they started to mod. About 2 minutes into the game, we noticed all four of them have ghosts. Huh.
Hey now.
This may sound stupid, but ghosts absolutely own on Warlock. So once I got up about 10 kills, we got under stability. And so when things were starting to look a little bleak, the most unthinkable thing happened. The blue screen appeared, you know? The Halo 2 equivalent of the blue screen of death, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And never in my life have I been glad to see it say reestablishing connection. We came back a few minutes later and noticed that two of their people were gone. And so now we took the two now empty ghosts and chased them around for a bit.
That's the way to turn the tides on them.
There you go.
As you might have guessed, now that we were even with them, completely destroyed them half a minute later, we had boarded or killed our drivers and taken the ghosts for ourselves. 30 seconds more had passed, and then the blue screen returned. Thinking we were screwed once more, we came back to find the other two monitors had left, and have actually been sitting at the blue screen all that time. And now we're going to have to face our wrath. My favorite moment was, dude, I can't spawn any more ghosts. It says the map is full. we won the game 50-13. I just thought you should know because that's how we did to bring things back in Nam. And that's from Sean Hendrickson. So thank you, Sean. That's a good story. I like when they beat the modders.
Definitely. Definitely. Go underdogs. couple more news things real quick, and we'll jump into some gameplay tips. Let's see here. Also have that Podtacker TV is in the house, and they're still rocking. They had a couple of glitches on some things, but they're going to be recording again real soon here, and they are looking for talent, guys. This is going to be a machinima group that's going to be recording films and stuff from Halo 2. They're looking for people that, you know, with some decent voice talent that are accountable and dependable. If you want to join in and want to be in the movies there, just email them at podtacularTV@gmail.com. And in particular, they need some female voices, so
you
ladies are out there. I don't know, man. It's,
And I got one more thing of news. There's a show called The Daily View, the Distorted View Daily. That's it. Anyways, he mentioned us on his show, so I wanted to say thanks, because he's like, I don't know, someone like left a voicemail and they're like, hey man, I like your show. Hey, there's another show. It's called Podtacular. It's pretty cool. And then they hung up. It's like, hey, this is kind of weird because I've actually heard of Podtacular. It's about Halo 2. It's pretty nice. It's on the iTunes front page. You can go check it out. He actually plugged our show. I'm like, sweet.
That's kind of funny.
So, yeah.
Cool. I've got another one here is that Scotty, Scotty Sewell, who is our overall clan representative, kind of internal Podtacular clan rep, he is starting a Podtacular tournament to begin on Friday the 23rd. Since we have four clans, we're going to kind of do inter-clan kind of thing. We need some people to represent their clan, guys, especially Podtacular 1, of course, because we rule. So go to the forums and get signed up over there. You can get to them by going to podtacular.com, clicking the forums on the right side, and, Podtacular 1 is going to win, by the way.
No.
You know, I gave you a chance to respond earlier, and you didn't chime in.
yeah, you're still going to lose. Actually, I think we're all going to get beat down by Podtacular 4.
Yeah, man, they're shaping up pretty good.
Oh,
but
think you'll find this interesting. Apparently, there's a new kind of cheating out now, as I got in the email here while we're still in the mail. It's called bridging. Really, what it is like someone that gets a hold of your IP address and they manipulate it. I don't know how they do it, but they corrupt your signal, lag you out.
Have you run into this at all, Major?
You know, I was talking with our network guys about this, and there's a lot of things you can do with network manipulation, and that's actually not new at all. That's an older, that's been around on the PC side for a long time. So. You know, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that regarding Halo 2 or any of the other live games, but I may be wrong, but I'm just saying that's something that's been around for a while.
Okay. Yeah, I hate to, bring up cheating types so that those lame cheaters out there don't listen to it and go, oh, bridging, that sounds like a good idea.
Oh, yay.
But, you know, if we're running into it.
That is considered cheating, and you will be banned.
Real good.
So, let's just be clear on that.
Awesome. Isn't there another one, Spellcheck? The selective standbying or something like that? Or is that the same thing?
I don't know. I'm not...
I
thought standbying was gone, but I think...
Well, I heard of a similar thing. Maybe it is basically the same thing, where they use an application to selectively lag people out and eventually kick them out of the game. It sounds like probably the same thing, it's just a different term. But, you know, a couple things these losers are using out there.
Why can't people just focus on playing the game and having fun? Well, I mean, come on, really.
If you find out, let me know.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the goofiest thing ever. What's with these people? I mean, it's crazy. Anyway.
I don't understand it either.
That 50 symbol looks really nice, though, so.
Yeah, but not when you cheated the whole way to get there. I don't understand it, man. Anyway. Well, we got a few web resources to cover.
Web resources. source says.
Stupid Windows Media Player.
Oh, those fine words.
I'm not dishing Microsoft, but this Media Player is slow. Oh wait,
he's trying to play a live clip.
All right, okay. Now let's try it again.
Is it not working?
No, I got it.
Maybe you need a hardware upgrade.
One, I'm not using my computer, and two, I had it muted. Let's try it again.
It's about time we got some web resources.
So, here we are.
Yes, sir.
What do you got first?
I got one. It's a site you might have heard of before. Starts with an M, ends with an AJournalson.com. Thought I'd mention it. I mean, you know, because it's a cool site. I've been there a couple times. You know,
it works, man. I appreciate it. I love you guys. You know, you guys are one of the few podcasts that I have on my iPod. And I'm actually, you know, I'm leaving for Japan next week, and I'm gonna make sure I download this show. So I can listen to it again.
Sweet.
Before I go to Japan.
Be sure to tell all your Japan buddies, Potacular.
I'll have to find out what the Japanese translation of Podtacular is. So
tell them
perhaps
that,
there isn't.
Sent ya. So.
Okay, I will do that. Anyway, thanks for the shout out on that one.
Yeah.
They could appreciate that one.
Got a couple more here. We're going to put links to a couple of these that I mentioned specifically in the show notes because the URL is just too long to mention on the air here. But got one of them where on HBO, which is halo.bungie.org, they have a emblem designer, which is a Flash application that'll let you go and change the different colors that you use and actually mess with the different emblems and kind of be able to design it offline and, you know, see what some of the cool things are. So if you haven't already put a lot of thought into your emblem, then, you know, this would be a good time to be able to do it offline and not deal with the other myriad of distractions that are there online to be able to check it out. So we'll put that in the show notes.
And you can go on there and make a nice little avatar for all your favorite message boards.
Sweet.
You know that? That's cool.
You
save it.
And save it. And put it on your hard drive thingy.
Put on your hard disk or whatever. I got one. It's called badkittystudios.com. Haven't ever been there. But according to Sean Anderson, who emailed me 10 times a day, it's a good site, considering he does it. So, badkittystudios.com.
See, yes. You guys are nicer, because if somebody emails me 10 times on the site, I purposely don't mention it.
I'll mention it just so they stop. Which apparently isn't working, because I keep getting search requests every day for the same things.
See, the psychology behind that is not real solid.
Here's the cool thing about an MP3. You can play it as many times as you like. Just go back to the part you want. You know?
This is true. Well, I got one as well that there is also a strategy planning Flash application that, once again, we'll put the link to in the show notes. But I went and messed around with this thing, and this thing is... It's really cool. Basically, you can select the map with a Flash drop-down list, and you'll be able to zoom in on the map. You can show and hide extras like Overshield and, you know, where some of the power-ups are, where some of the key, like the transporters are and some of the things like that. You can show and hide weapons. You can actually have the radar zone be a circle around the mouse so that as you go along, you can see where you're able to be picked up on radar. Nice. All kinds of different things like that. And of course, you can mark it up with these different colored pens that they have kind of built in. And it's a really cool way to be able to work out strategies with your team if you're able to all kind of see it somehow. Now, there's a couple different ways to do it.
Now, where's this at? I don't care how long the file name is. I got to know what it is now. Tell me.
Oh man, I don't even have it on here because I figured we'd just put it in the show notes, but it's a long one.
I'm with you on that one, spell check. I want to see that now.
Yeah.
No. I don't have it right now, but I will get it to you guys as soon as possible.
I might Google it.
I'm Googling it too. I'm not coming up with anything.
AOC map strategy.
It's telling me how to upgrade my PSP. That's the wrong
Flash
search results.
Oh, darn it.
I know I have it, guys, and I will definitely get it to you. I am apologizing profusely that I don't have it now, but I will definitely get it.
Well,
it's
you guys
very
are
cool.
Talking. I'll keep searching for it.
Soviet. Oh, let us know if you find it.
I got all excited about that. I was like, oh. Anyway.
I'll get it for you. You know where you can find it, come to think of it?
Where?
Is you can go to HBO, halo.bungie.org, and go to, there's a section there for tools, I think it is. I'm going right off memory here, but it's on the left side. There's something for, I think it's tools.
I'm going to go
and,
with miscellaneous, because there's no tools.
There is no tools? Darn.
Darn, you're wrong. Hardly happens. It hardly happens, but you were wrong.
I'm never wrong, dude. Just mispronunciated it.
Okay.
No, it's over there somewhere anyway. It is on, there is a link to it on HBO. It's the same place where you can find Carnage stats and you know, all that good stuff with the different stat tracking tools and the different, you know, tools to be able to analyze stats, deal with maps, all kinds of stuff. The same place, in fact, where you can find a link to the Emblem Designer Flash application.
Sweet.
So, it's on there. Take a look. Another thing I have real quick is the there is a Firefox toolbar for, if you guys use the Firefox web browser.
I do.
There is a, cool, so do I. There is a toolbar that will go underneath, kind of like an Internet Explorer toolbar. In fact, they do have an Internet Explorer toolbar as well. What it is it just kind of, it has like the different main Halo 2 news sites listed at the top there, and you can kind of drop down and go look at the different news items, go to them. You can do a search on Halo specific sites about specific things. You can look up people's gamertag stats right away, clan stats, all kinds of great stuff from one toolbar. So if you use the web a lot in relation to Halo 2, this would be really beneficial for you to check out. We'll put a link in the show notes.
Hey. And I got one more. Can you say the coolest Machinima show ever has a new episode already?
Which one's that?
Red vs. Blue.
Uh-huh.
I love that show. I love it. I love it. Major, are you into these shows at all? Have you ever seen Red vs. Blue?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in fact, I was watching them. I remember when I was watching them when they were still black and white. No, I actually watched those quite some time ago. In fact, when I was at I did an appearance at the Penny Arcade locally.
Lucky.
The Penny Arcade Expo. Yeah, a few weeks ago, and I picked up all three discs, so I'm going to watch those on the way over to Japan, so just to catch up, because I've fallen behind because I've been a little busy lately.
First season,
awesome.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, well, it's first season always is, isn't it?
Totally.
Amazing.
How amazing is this, Felcher?
Especially when Church got killed. Amazing.
Right. Amazing.
Especially, I'm just going to do a quick quote here. So, this is Caboose, by the way. So, Sidewinder, the ice planet, how was it? The planet made entirely of ice! It's really effing gold! Sorry, it's just personal favorite.
Alright, we'll forgive you this time.
Okay. You know, couldn't do Sarge, couldn't do Caboose, couldn't do his church.
Well, me and my web geekiness, I got another Firefox thing for you. There is a Firefox Grease Monkey script, and this is like double web geekiness because you have to download Firefox. You have to install Grease Monkey, which is a strange name for an extension for Firefox that allows you to inject JavaScript into different pages to make them do what you want. And there is a script for Grease Monkey that allows you to linkify text on Halo sites. So what that does is, as you run across text that relates to Halo, the script will pick it up, put a link to HaloWiki.net, the page that talks about that specific thing. For instance, just the other day, I ran into this one term called carny hole, and I was like, what is that?
Oh, yeah.
That's
a Frankie term. I've heard him use that a lot of times.
Oh, really? I guess this is actually named after a real person. At first, I thought it was like Carnage, but yeah, this guy's last name is Carny.
Actually, now it's interesting, because I'm over at the Halo Wiki right now, and I want to look up the carny hole, because the carny hole is actually a term from carnivals. It's an older term when carnivals used to go around the country, and it was like a place you'd lose all your money. I think you try to get, like, like one of the, you try to throw a ball in through a hole, and there's no way the ball could ever go through that hole, so they called it a carny hole because it wasn't really working.
Slayer.
So.
Oh, so someone will have to add that to the wiki there.
That's a carny hole.
Hey, Major, I found that flash thing.
You did? Where is it?
Hold on, it's like...
You going to shoot it to me?
I'll shoot it real fast. Stay on.
Dude, I got, because I'm like totally down the rabbit hole over here. I'm totally in the wrong direction.
I found it on HBO. Imagine that.
I was playing around with the emblem maker over there, because I always see these guys with these things that look like penises. So I was trying to figure out how to do that.
Well, somehow with the emblem maker, probably.
Flag.
Yeah, exactly.
It even makes cool sound effects.
Oh, I didn't know that. I had my sound turned off.
Cool.
Yep. No, like, come on. You guys aren't going to hear this. Wait, I can make it. I can let you hear it. Here, you see it so fast. Look.
Oddball. Juggernaut. King of the Hill. Assault.
Nice.
Isn't that cool?
You know, I tried out for that gig and I didn't get it.
Oh, man.
Oddball. Juggernaut. King of the Hill.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Territories.
Very good. Well, maybe the next version. Who knows?
Anyway.
Still waiting for the cool on that. But only just a couple other things here. We got also got a new Xbox podcast called Grizzled Gamers. We'll put the link on the show notes for that as well.
And
it's an Xbox podcast, not a Halo 2 specific podcast. So.
Wow.
Otherwise,
that's cool. I
wouldn't have mentioned him. So anyway. Yeah, it's pretty funny. Alright, so we are done with Rubber Sources and ready to jump over to General Tips.
General Tips. Oh, I don't have my intro over here. Oh, no intro for tips today. Sorry.
Dude, spell check dropping the ball again.
Hey, it's not my fault. My computer's crap.
You're right. This Flash app rocks.
I know.
Isn't that awesome?
This is cool.
The only thing is there's no eraser and there's no, like, clear screen thing,
yeah,
so you
yeah,
have
I'm
to
like, I
you have to refresh it to get rid of any of your writing. But it's still, especially the range, how you can tell where you're going to be in, you know, on radar and stuff. I thought that was really awesome to be able to, like, plan a sneak in.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely cool.
Well, I guess you just have to print it off later, because I guess there's not really any way to share it, really, so.
Yeah, well, if it doesn't work to print it off, you can always do a print screen and then print that.
Oh, I like the proximity thing. It's a good feature.
So anyway, I guess I'm going to talk to some general tips while you guys are checking that out.
Oh, look at this.
Oh, that is nice.
Ooh. All right, I'm on my own here.
I can hear say oddball in the background, like, oddball. I'm like, aha.
Well, I got some tips from... I'll just do one. You guys can join in if you want.
All right. Maybe later.
Well,
I'm a little busy.
Alright, yeah. Talk to you guys later.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of tips from Not So Common Sense from Overswarm, his strategy guide that you posted on halo.bungie.org.
Sweet.
You can find this, by the way, by going to that website. At the top right, there is a link for Not So Common Sense. And you can check that out. There's a huge strategy guide on there that Overswarm has spent a lot of time on. He also has related videos that will show you how to do stuff. Very cool thing to check out and will really bring your gameplay level up a lot. So a couple of tips from that. He mentions that, and he didn't email these in, by the way, I just snagged them off there, but hope he doesn't mind. He mentions to bounce a grenade above a doorway to blow up the person behind you. Like, for instance, if you're running out one of the side doors from the top level towards one of the sides on Ivory Tower, and you're running through that doorway there, just bounce, especially if you have a plasma grenade, bounce that right off the top of the doorway. The bounce will slow down the momentum. It'll land right behind you. The guy will be running up, and boom, it'll blow up right in front of him.
Hey, hey. So, yeah, I got some. This is a guy gave me a shotgun guide, and I was like, oh, it's going to be a really long thing. I wish I didn't do it. I'm like, oh, that is good. That's a good thing to read.
Yeah, it was definitely cool.
So I'm like, okay, so I'm going to mention this stuff. Actually, you know, it's kind of a lot, so I think I'll run through it pretty quickly about what it is. Pretty much there's like the lunge, you know, like the sword lunge, and this is what he says. Most people I talk to sound like they're done for as soon as they hear as the sword lunges. Not true. An easily timed shotgun blast will blow the sword idiot back to whatever hole he came from. And this is true. If you're paying attention,
the sword hole.
if you're paying attention, you can get that sword guy before he gets you. Like, all you need to do is pay attention to that telltale acceleration. That means you pull the trigger, they'll die in midair, and there's nothing they can do about it.
So they launch, you shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yeah, you want to finish those ones off?
Yeah, I will. Part two, keeping your distance. We all know that a sword doesn't use projectiles, so my shotgun friend, use that to your advantage. Back away from a sword user when he's pumping him full of lead. If all goes well, you'll kill him before he can even lunge. It may take a while, but it sure beats going toe-to-toe with a sword guy. And if that doesn't work, then you use the when he lunges at you, shoot him like that, you know?
Yeah.
Number three. No glow stick.
Number three.
Number three.
Number three. Being a human wielding a shotgun, you can run through the shadows unseen quite easily. Neither the armor nor the weapon glows. As a sword glows, so does a, saying, I don't know what that word is. Saying heli? What's that mean? Does anyone know what that means?
I don't know. I guess, following along.
Oh, I know what that is. A saying heli, that's what it says in the booklet. You know, if you get the booklet, you know, it says, like, the names of all the, like, the covenant names of the elites?
Yeah.
Nerdy
what
stuff.
The hell are you talking about, man?
Did you not get the nice one, the metal package?
No, I didn't get the metal package.
Oh.
I'm a loser.
And the metal package, it might have been. But it had, like, a booklet, and it said, like, the covenant technical names for everything, and an elite was called the Sangheli.
Uh-huh. You know, you could have just skipped the whole thing and said elite, but that's okay.
It took me a second to remember that. That and had my little brother tell me. So, hide from the sword. hide from the sword guy and kill him with a well-placed back hit, or just get right next to him and blow him away. Either way, a human shotgun is really the best for close range and trying to be stealthy.
Okay.
And one more, part four. It's the last part.
Number four.
Every time I do that, I feel like I'm Solid Snake. Metal Gear! Now, I have
does Solid Snake say that? Metal Gear.
Yeah, he does. In, like, every single game. Metal
Gear.
My brother was just playing Metal Gear Substance for Xbox.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I stand corrected.
Yeah. Now, I have covered how to kill a sword user pretty well. What about the other shotties? And the answer is, all you can do is gauge your enemy.
No pun intended.
Oh, I get it now. I'm slow. If he seems like he'll choose long range over close range, then all you can do is pull the trigger first and close the distance in a hurry. If he backs away, duck, zigzag, and do anything to avoid his shots while pulling off yours. If he looks like he wants to go toe-to-toe, then either choose to back away while firing, or wait about half a second after the reticle turns red. Not as soon as it does, because he won't die. So
getting close, that's the thing with the shotgun, is being able to go while you're getting shot, keep running without shooting.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to do for me, but until you get in close enough where you can just hit him at point blank.
It's hard knock life.
So, Major, you want to cover a couple of these?
Where are we? I'm sorry, I was falling asleep over here.
he was too busy in Flash Map Land.
Yeah, I'm literally a slayer.
What's going on here?
We're pretty much towards the top because on my notes he jumped up a ways. So.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm on number two.
Oh, you know what? You know what's funny is you guys send me all of this, and I swear to God, I didn't even go past. You sent me the show notes. I only stayed on the first two screens. I didn't realize there was 20 pages. Oh my God!
Like I said, I have more information than I will cover in the show.
On purpose. Cow.
I've got like a notebook with like 10 pages of stuff on there. So
you guys keep going with it. I'm gonna kind of stay over here in the corner and play with this Flash app.
It's not even a game. You're just like looking. Click,
that's cool.
Click, ooh, click, click.
Let us know if you find any Easter eggs or anything.
Hold tab. See if you can find any Easter eggs.
Well, I got one here. Another one from Overswarmed, talking about after you go through a doorway. Another way to use those to your advantage is to jump up right after you go through it and melee someone on the way down. There's two reasons this is good. One is because, you know, when they're going through the doorway, their point of view is they're not going to be looking up. And if they don't see you, if you turn a right angle, they're not going to see you jump up. So, you know, as they come through, you're going to be falling down on them. And that's the second thing, is that jumping melees have 75% more damage than a standing melee. So it's going to be more powerful. It may even kill them on the first hit.
Hey, and that's good. So, I don't know.
Response withheld.
Yeah.
What do you got?
I got email. I got lots of emails about some tips. I think I'll share some right now. How's that sound?
Fair enough.
Sounds good to me.
I concur.
it may not seem like a, I don't know, this might have been covered a minute ago, but it may not seem like it's not very smart or useful, but if you have a shotgun, what he likes to do is wait for a red dot to appear on the radar. See what direction it's coming from. Make sure you get the other weapon out. Wait for it to get close, and just keep looking away, like you're gonna let them assassinate you. Turn around and shoot them.
Awesome.
Anyways,
turning around and shooting is always a good thing.
I really don't know if that's really a tip, but it's kind of funny.
Okay, here's a newbie tip.
I wish I had that thing ready. I don't have it because I'm unprepared today because I'm using a different computer. But
dude, you're fired again.
That's like five now.
You get fired every episode, man.
Just about.
Well, Braincake writes in and he says about the bomb flag indicator, and this is a newbie tip because the thing is though is that a lot of players he mentions do not know that this exists.
There's a
he
bomb said he's flag even played, indicator.
Yeah, dude. There's an indicator. Yes, everybody knows that exists, but there's a specific thing on there that you know some people don't know about. He's talking about the small bar that's below the flag or bomb icon when the bomb or flag is not being carried. So, like, if it's stationary, if it's been dropped, something like that, there's a little indicator there that is kind of a time bar that goes down from a full bar down to zero. And as soon as it gets to zero, it returns, you know, to the base.
Handy.
So, or to the spawn spot if it's a neutral bomber flag.
Yeah,
So, yeah, he was saying he's played with level 30-plus players that didn't even notice that. So...
Really?
I don't know. Maybe surprises me, but
maybe he's playing with blind gamers.
Blind gamers. That maybe, would be interesting.
Maybe he is playing with blind gamers.
That makes me sound really bad, but it could be true.
I don't think they would be level 30, but hey, maybe I'm just
they're blind modders. Those blind people are modders.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is going to throw you off, but I actually have to run now because I have a meeting I have to go to, so I have to kind of duck out of here quietly.
Okay.
Oh, man. Is that going to bum you out?
No, man.
Well, cool.
We were so glad to have you on the show today, man.
No, you guys, I'm so thrilled. It's just well, all of a sudden I have to do real work, so I got to run some meetings and take care of some stuff for the Xbox 360 launch.
No problem. Like I was saying is that, you know, anytime you could be on the show is awesome. So, we really appreciate it and, you know, hope to have you back on someday.
No, you guys are great. I don't want to stop the show down. It's because you guys are on a roll here, I think. but I'll let you guys get back to it. But I really appreciate it. You know, have your folks come over, check my site out, majornelson.com. They know how to find me. I got a show over there. You know, I love your show. You guys keep up the great work. I'm so thrilled with the work you guys did. And what is the show number? What'd you say? Seven?
Show number eight.
This is eight.
Show number eight. You guys have just done amazing in eight shows. Keep up the great work. I want to come back again. So whenever you guys will have me, I'd love to come back.
Awesome, Major. Thanks a lot.
All right, I'll bail out now. I'll let you guys go. Pleasure chatting with you. I'll talk to you soon.
Later.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. So I got another tip here. This is one that works for me. I play best when I'm mad because I'm more determined not to lose. So if you call that a tip, call it what you will. But if I'm pissed off and I've had a crappy day at work, I come home and I'm like, I'm gonna win. Damn it.
Stub your toe, then get on live.
There you go. That's a good tip. Just,
good
you know,
tip.
Punch yourself in the cheek, you know?
Oh,
bump your knee in your desk. That's a good way to do it.
Put your controller right by the door you walk in. Oh, my foot.
People are going to sue us, man. They're going to be like, I broke my nose because of you.
Thanks, Podtacular. Well. Thanks to you, I have no leg now.
Yes. Well, we're sorry we shattered your knee, and get well soon.
Get well soon. No. Get well now.
Get well yesterday.
Get off that couch and go get well now.
Make it quick. Okay, so we got a couple more tips here.
Yes.
I got a few vehicle tips real quick that I want to mention.
Okay, go ahead. Glad to hear them.
Once again, Overswarm says...
Overswarm
is... The coolest. Overswarm is the authority, in my mind, on Halo 2 gameplay.
The authority!
Authority!
That totally didn't sound as cool as I thought it would.
That's all right. Stick with Sarge, man. You and Sarge.
I'll stick with Sarge. See, there's Sarge now.
Awesome.
Don't worry. I'll hold his hand. See, now, it's too bad Major had to duck out now.
Major had the announcement, the Team Slayer. He had that voice down real good.
He did. Kudos to that.
Definitely. He should be in the next iteration of Halo.
Halo 3, Major Nelson stars. The voice.
Halo 3 with Major Nelson. Working title.
Working title.
Okay, vehicle tips, like I was saying a long time ago. Overswarm says, surf vehicles like a Jeep, Ghost, and Banshee to get launched and make jumps easier. And what this term means is, like, for instance, on the Warthog, getting on top of the hood of the Warthog and standing on there, and you can only go so far with this, especially if you're hitting bumps and stuff, because it'll fall off. But if you're going on a flat area, it's a great way to, you know, like, lunge someone forward, especially if they have the bomb or the flag. And if you hit the brakes, they'll go flying off your vehicle, and they'll go a long distance at a high speed, you know, in the air, and you can just really launch people out that way. And there's a couple of maps where this works really good on.
I'm gonna guess Quag is a good one. Because
Quag, you mean to throw them on top of the base?
Like to throw them anywhere, like by pushing.
Okay, so. I'm kind of more talking about like standing on top of the hood, driving real fast, and then hitting the brakes or hitting an object to stop, and then they go flying off the hood, you know. At a pretty good height and at a pretty good speed too.
So pretty much the Warthog equivalent of Banshee bumping, pretty much, or kind of.
Not exactly, because you're not bumping them. They're standing on the hood while you're driving. So they're not actually in the Jeep, but they're on top of the hood. Let me explain. There's some people might have seen this already. This is probably the most common place where this is used on burial mounds. If you go into the cave and come around the right angle turn there. Before you go up the cave, have one guy get out and stand on the hood. And the driver has to be real good and real careful with this, but go up the cave, hit that corner, and as soon as you come around that corner, crank it full speed, just floor it, and the guy that's crouching on the hood will go past the flag, hold X, grab the flag at full Warthog speed, and then the Warthog will hit the wall where the turret is. He'll go flying off, and he'll get almost all the way to the ribs, and to where, you know, his team might be killed that's in the Warthog, but he's so far ahead that, you know, unless they're sniping, they can't take him out. And even if they do, it's going to be hard to defend where the flag drops.
Yeah.
So that's a good one.
I got one. If you're getting bored with the Warthog, look about 90 degrees right, and when he boards you, you'll be able to melee as soon as you get out for an instant kill. So that's... That's nice.
Way cool.
It's nice.
Definitely.
Totally stole that from the free shots.
This is good. Another one is talking about power sliding, and this is a really cool technique. Watching some of Overstorm's videos, to be able to power slide and do a 180 real quick. It's great for if you're driving. You're driving on like to where your driver's side is facing the base, and you're driving alongside of it, and you need to flip around so somebody needs to jump in that passenger seat. The way to do that properly is that you turn first, then hit the e-brake, and then let go of the e-brake before you stop turning. So that way you'll be at a complete stop and you'll be 180 degrees turned around. Practice it a little bit, know when to hit the e-brake, but don't just crank it as soon as you start turning. Start turning first, then hit the e-brake, let go of it before you stop turning, and you know, you'll get it in there.
Cool.
All right. Well, on to some big team tips.
Yeah, Overswarm says, learn to surf. Surf in U.S. Halo. Anyways, over at Headlong, do a 180 power slide, you know, like you said earlier,
mm-hmm.
and way at the bottom of the flag window with a surfer on the hood, the flag flag capture guy throws it out the window, the hood surfer catches it,
driver floors it, surfer goes through window and around the corner.
Right.
Nice.
The driver is, as he throws it down, the driver, he's looking down at the Jeep. The driver is facing towards the left. There's a guy waiting on a hood. He grabs the flag. Driver floors it straight ahead, doesn't turn, and there's a gigantic window there. And as soon as he hits the wall there, the guy goes flying off at way of distance. He can go around the corner and, you know, get quite a ways away before they even know where to go. So I saw this demonstrated as a very cool technique.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that video. It was nice.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you got some more big team tips?
Just the ones that you have.
Okay, we're a little, don't have a whole lot of big team tips this week, but
send in your
try
big
to get into
tips.
Some other stuff.
Send them in.
Definitely. I mean, we got them, but we also want to get into some other stuff as well. Yeah. Let me just cover one more thing real quick. Talking about on coagulation, another one with surfing vehicles. If you surf on top of the Warthog hood and someone gets up to the base at coagulation, they can throw you on up over the top wall of the base and into the drop spot if it's done correctly and you're careful with where you stop and everything like that. So if you practice that a little bit, you don't even have to pull up on the side and let someone out and worry about them getting dual wielded while they're jumping out and running for the bomb. So
nice.
Good way for a quick entry there. Nice. Also works on waterworks exactly the same way. You can either hit something to do an instant stop or pull the e-brake and send someone flying into the base from the top.
Cool.
Okay, so we got Map of the Week.
Lots and lots of the Map of the Week stuff. And it's all here today, here on Pawtacular.
Pawtacular.com?
Yeah, it's everywhere. It's all over the internet. It's big in Japan.
Big in Japan. Definitely. And we had once again, tons of comments, you guys. We appreciate you guys posting comments, information.
We love them.
How to do better on these specific maps that we post on Pawtacular.com. And if you do want to get on the show in the future, as far as get your tip on the show, we post the map of the week beforehand on Pawtacular.com. You can go over there and you can post in the comments for that map of the week your tip for that map. So just make sure to post your gamer tag, and you know, we may mention you in the show.
Yeah, it happens all the time. It happened to me once.
Happening right now.
Got my tips aired. Oh, look, it's now! Cool.
Congratulations.
Lucky me. All my friends are going to be jealous. My tip got on Pawtacular.
You lucky duck. All right, go ahead.
All right, here's my tip. This is from me. And here's what it is. There's a ledge, like, on the outside part of Gemini. There's two ledges. There's one on each side, on the far sides.
Right.
And that little ledge, it's just thin enough where you can go stand on it. So if it comes time to where you're doing, like, a thing where both flags are out, like if you're doing a CTF Classic, where, like, the flag must be at home to score, it's perfect because that's a good old hiding spot. And also,
sweet,
it's a good place to go find someone when they're hiding.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you would, might go check that out.
Very cool.
So,
Half Death mentions that during most of the Team Slayer matches he's been in during Team Preview, he's noticed that almost 95% of the time people forget that there are two shotguns on either side of the doors behind the tree. These can be used to counter the sword if the other team has it. And you could also kind of camp by the doors with the shotgun, so if anyone were to come through, you could just easily take them out at close range. That's a really good tip. Sometimes people don't go into those outer areas. In fact, almost every time I play that map, if I run around in those outer areas, I hardly see anybody out there. And, you know, it's definitely worth going out there to grab the shotgun, so.
Yeah. Cool. See, we got one from a guy named Quality Jeverage.
And he reminds me that name does not work in Scrabble.
Nope. but his name is Jeff. Combine that with beverage, because he likes that word, and he's a quality person. And of course you get Cold Jibberidge, and it does not work as in Scrabble.
Anyways, the top of the prophet head, the tiara, I don't know what that is either. The top of the prophet head is a really good sniper spot.
Prophet princess.
You get a good view of the trees surrounding the area, and you get a good view of the ground and stuff too. So it gives you a good cover from other directions, other than the fact that you can go up and get whacked really easy. And on the balcony, which looks over onto the ship, there are two long protrusions. You can't stretch well on that. I couldn't do it. From the balcony, one at either side of the teleporter, looking at the protrusion, you'll see a long purple light running down the center with a slope on either side. If you grab the sword of the shotgun and hide behind these slopes, no one can see from either side, and you pop out and kill them before they even know you're there. So. And he said that he's having problems with the BXB method. So, I don't know. You're probably either pushing too slow, or you're pushing too fast, so.
I think he's pushing it too fast, because you have to press X after you strike.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, myself, maybe it was more useful before the auto update, but myself, I haven't noticed a speed increase on that. But, you know, there's also BYB, and that's supposed to be real good as well. Overswarm demonstrates that in one of the videos, in fact,
yes.
Showing how that becomes powerful.
Overswarm does an amazing job. I'm glad we could have him on our show once. Talk to him. He's a cool guy.
I'll tell you guys, well, his friends list is full, so I would say for
him
to send a friends request, but yeah, as you know, sorry.
hey,
sorry if you're like, I want in your friends list, dump someone off your friends list so I can join in. Dude, come on.
Out there, I'm getting a new account, so, you know, I'll have 100 free spots. Actually, 99, gotta get Fumo first. So.
Thank you.
I'll be getting a new account, hopefully this weekend. Which actually is probably going to be last weekend, maybe. But,
dude, you're confusing me.
No, I mean the 70s. Dun, dun, dun!
So, we have some more tips.
Yes. We have some tip-taculars.
In Gemini here, Clown X1511. I think he's an experimental clown from the future.
Hmm.
He says that you can stand on the back wall of the blue teleporter that takes you outside. If you stand on that and then walk into the teleporter backwards, then for some reason you will teleport outside and then back. Because, you know, you're walking in backwards, you're gonna come out backwards and then, he doesn't understand it either, but, this is because you keep walking backwards through their side of the teleporter. It's a great way to confuse people.
Boy, he did a good job, I'm confused. So.
Yes.
Good job, clown.
Congratulations.
Okay, got one from Midnight Five Knack or Snack.
Hey, speaking leet.
He's gonna give us he's gonna post tacular on our comments for our little site here. If you go to the teleporter that leads to the platforms above the tree, you can crouch behind where people come in and assassinate right as they come through. And it happens all the time. You'll see people just camping up there. Whack. Whack. Go to the post-game lobby. Oh, he had 15 million assassinations. Imagine that.
15 million? Dang, man.
It was one of them unlimited games.
How long were you playing?
Hours. Years. Since Thursday.
Years.
Since Thursday. Of last week? Oh!
Spellshy's going to take a nap now. He's pretty pooped.
I'm tired. I'll be back.
Yeah.
I'll be back in 2 episodes or so.
Alright, so I'll just finish this off.
No. Okay.
Stealth Zealot writes in, he says, if you're being followed, or if you just want to surprise your enemy, get to one of the two teleporters at the top of the map. And when you're there, move behind it, specifically if you're being followed, and bam. Shoot people as soon as they come through the teleporter, especially with the shotgun, of course. If you're not being followed, you can use that as a good sniping spot, though. Of course, this is a common tactic, and be careful if an enemy teleports and shows up right behind you. If you're kind of on the edge of that thing. Also, people throw, throw plasma grenades up there pretty frequently, and it's kind of a well-known area. You know, it's pretty much the only major tactical advantage area, and therefore the only major tactical disadvantage area that there is in the, on the map. So, keep that in mind, but it also is, you know, really useful, especially for that kind of stuff. Go through, back up, shoot people when they follow you.
Cool, 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 cool. Cool-tacular.
That was definitely cool-tacular.
Got one from an anonymous user. Ooh. Carbine racks up loads of kills because there are lots of huge firefights, and in Team Slayer or Rumble Pit,
just rapid fire with headshots into a firefight, and you can steal and get lots of kills. The brute shot works good for this too. If you can get those two weapons, keeping the brute shot in reserve for close up combat, you can dominate.
Very cool. Just a few more here, guys. We have Gemini Ace writes in and talks about during oddball games, either team or regular, run for where the shotgun is and then run out on that pillar and crouch. If you have teammates, get them to defend you and let you know when they're about to die so that you can jump off or at least throw the ball off. Then it'll respawn in the middle of the map where hopefully one of your teammates will be there to get it. So, this is cool. I haven't played an oddball game yet on this map. I'm looking forward to it. But that's definitely a good way to do it, is to where there's nothing that people can do. They can't bounce grenades off a wall behind you. They have to get through your wall of defenses of people in front of you. And, you know, they can't sneak around because there's no access to that except for in the front. So, very cool.
Okay, Spider Ned says, this map is purple, but it it's still a good map. But
even though it's purple, it's a good map.
Even though it's purple, I like the 2 second wait for those doors. You know, mm-hmm. He says really his tip is just to go by and be sure and. Know that you're going to have to wait a second for those doors to open. That's not like you're going to be walking through. So just be prepared, really, for what could be behind door number one.
Yeah.
Because, really, and it's kind of like you can take the cash prize or take the assassinator in door number two.
Yeah, those doors are actually a real kind of a tactics point there. Because
Royal Pain.
Yeah.
The Royal Pain in the hiney.
That's true. I thought you were saying, like, someone's name or something. Royal Pain says...
Someone's going to sort of still, like, go, like, I'm going to sign up with their name, Royal Pain.
Yeah, I know. Huh? That's awesome. That's awesome. Dude. Oh, it's taken. Dang it. Anyway. So the doors are actually a good object to use, especially since, you know, they have movement a little more, makes it a little more interesting, a little more capable of using in different ways. You can use them, first of all, in the offensive. If someone's coming through the doors and you're a long ways away, or you got your eye on it waiting for them, you can pound them with brute shot grenades. You can throw plasma or human grenades in there, and you can take people out right when they come through the doors. Another way to use those doors is to wait on the other side for someone to come through the doors towards you. And as soon as they come through, you get the shotgun, just blast them in the chest, and pow. They're out of there.
Pow, pow. Gone.
Definitely. So, guys, there's a lot more at podtactic.com. Because of time constraints, we can't go through all of them. But check it out. Look at the announcement for Map of the Week for Episode 8, Gemini, and check out all the tips. It will definitely help you out. There's some really good ones in here that we wish we could get to all of them, but you know how it is.
Yeah, I really wanted to get to the one that said comment deleted. I was really looking forward to saying that one, but time.
Yeah.
Time.
Yeah. That's sage advice right there.
It's like this. You know, well, I think we have time for this one. He says, this post has been removed by the author.
Nice.
Yeah.
Dude, so if you guys are, you know, ever out there and you're running around on Gemini, just remember that.
Yeah. This post was deleted by the author. Sage Sweet. Advice. Keep that
I
in mind.
I think my brain just grew, man.
I know. Keep that in Very mind cool. as we move on to our custom games.
And we got a lot of them.
Lots of them. I'm sorry for not having the intros today. It's just I'm using a different computer. So I tried to have
it's all right.
I tried to grab as many as I could. I just couldn't get all of them. So anyways, I had one that I just had to mention. And it's called Harassers. And it's a Juggernaut game. And the best part about this game is the Juggernaut is at a disadvantage.
Oh.
Yeah. That's why I was like, oh. Now that's a quality game type.
So he's like the Jugger Wimp or something.
The Jugger not going to win. Anyways.
That was a good one.
It's basically the opposite of Phantom. The Juggernaut has no motion sensor, but he has double damage, overshield, and damage resistance. However, everyone else has active camo and motion trackers. So even though you're not invisible, you can last a little bit longer, but you have no clue where your attackers are. They can sneak up right behind you. You have no motion tracker. In other words, as some wise person has put on Xbox Live, sucks to be you.
That it does.
But you can get points that way. You can't get points when you're not Juggernaut. So.
True, true.
I got you there.
Okay, well, I got one from, let's see here, The Moon Knight, and this is called Worms Armageddon Meets Mangonel.
I love Worms.
And this, it's quite a long name, but you probably can't fit that in the actual custom game name. But this one is talking about, it's all about formations. Basically, it's a CTF game where your team, one team in particular, forms a combat formation and kind of stay in a line, a row, or a box, or anything you want to do as far as a formation. And generally, you form a formation around the wraiths to prevent people from stealing it. They have to stay in that combat formation, whichever one they choose. And they're Spartans, and everyone knows that Spartans finish what they start, right? Okay. Reading it word for word here. Their objective is to march over to the other base and fire a hailstorm at the enemy base.
Sorry.
Brute shots.
That just like totally sounded like something you see in a movie. It's like Halo 3. They totally march into the other guy's base.
Their objective, march over to the other base. Fire a hailstorm.
Fire a hailstorm? Oh, they're shooting ice cubes. Oh, man, this is cold.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Shooting ice cubes is a great idea.
You said hailstorm.
If you're out of bullets. Anyway, when they think it's enough hailing, they have to get the flag and come back with it. And he suggests switching the combat formation when marching back because, well, you know, the wraith needs to be protected from the rear. Also, he's talking about formations that let players sit on top of the wraith are also good ones. Just make sure that you don't boost, of course, and conserve your ammo.
You boost,
so that's that game time.
Yeah.
So thanks to the Moon Knight for that one.
Sweet, 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 sweet. It was super
sweet-tacular.
Sweet. It was super sweet. All right, I got another one. It's called POW, or Prisoner of War. And I'm going to say, oh, it's like zombies. And when I say that, it's only more in the sense only that you die, you switch teams. Because it's not like, oh, green team can use a sword, red team can use shotguns. No, it's not like that at all. It's pretty much like a back-and-forth team slayer. If you get killed, you switch to the other guy's team.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's really cool, but, like, you know, it goes on the whole honor system of, like, oh, you switched to the brown team, I killed you. No! And then you have to get, like,
yeah, exactly.
Boot so-and-so! He's the party leader. Oh, crap, he's the party leader. So.
Great.
Wonderful.
Yeah, a lot of these go by the honor system, and that can be frustrating at times.
So, yeah.
Well, I got another one actually that's similar to that that I thought was pretty cool. If I can find it here, jamming through my notes, I have one called Jail. I have a series of these, and they're from, I got them from Ganai.com. It's this guy's blog, GANAI.com, and he has an entry a little while back that just kind of said Halo 2 custom games, and he put up, you know, a bunch of stuff he plays. Well, it turns out, I guess either this was one of the first ones that did this or something, but there was a million comments in that blog entry, and that became like a strange place, but the like definitive place to find Halo 2 custom games. So I got a whole bunch of really cool ones from this. I'm sure a lot of them were from comments that people left, but it's way cool.
Dang.
This one's called Jail, and the basic premise in this is that once you're killed, little typo there, you must go on top of the opposing team's base. The top of the base is the jail, and you need one person on top of one person on each team guarding the jail, unless they're the last person alive on the team. In order to help your teammates escape, you have to betray them by sticking them with a plasma grenade. There's no betrayal penalty. The team that runs out of people because they go to jail loses. It's a Slayer game. It's played on Coagulation, Beaver Creek, Ascension, or Waterworks. Kilometers 50, primary weapons SMG. Couple other details which we will put in the show notes, but it looks like an awesome game.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Nice little twist on things.
I got one here. It's called The Neverending War, and it's a never-ending war. It's pretty much like SWAT, but it's unlimited, so I played a couple of those games. He mentioned that like, he's played one that's gotten up to like the pink team was
losing with like 9,000 or something.
Oh my gosh.
If you have 9,000 points and you're losing, here's the deal. Red team had 14,000. I might be getting it backwards, but if you're losing by 5,000 points,
so,
not feeling a comeback.
Yeah, really. Now, are they still playing?
No, probably not by now. They probably had to stop for some food or something.
You know, dude, then what's with the name?
I don't know.
It's a never-ending war. It's already over.
Well, I've seen a couple different types of this game. Like, there's marathon stuff. And, like, I was like, oh, well, I've run 25 miles. Can I stop playing the game now? Oh, gotta keep going. Really. Oh, it's unlimited. Oh.
Maybe you should make a rule that, like, you have to invite someone to the party and get them to take your place in order to leave.
Before you can leave. The pyramid scheme, see. You know?
Don't play it at 3 a.m. because you won't get enough people to replace you. Okay, I got one called, let's see here, one called Dodgeball. And this game must be played on Beaver Creek, specifically because it has even sides, it's asymmetrical, and it's small enough to house the game. The only weapon in the game is a brute shot, and there's no shields, one life, and multiple rounds. No one is allowed to cross the creek, and it helps that the game is set to capture the flag, because, you know, everyone spawns on their team's base. This game's a lot of fun, because basically you fire the brute shots across the river in the center towards the other team. You're trying to dodge them, and it's not too hard to dodge them, because they're slow, but it's just when you get a barrage coming, you gotta worry about that deal. So, that does look kind of fun.
Yeah. You got one here from Volkswagen Mafia.
Volkswagen Mafia.
Clever name.
Wow.
But his gamer tag is Volkswagen Mafia, but the I in Mafia is a 1, so if you want to send a friend request,
hey.
Send it over to Volkswagen Moth 1.
One-a.
But not one up. Which I don't
Moth one-a.
Anyways, this game is called Tremors. Actually, I just got this like 3 minutes ago. So he's going to be really surprised to hear this, but it's called Tremors. It's over on Coagulation. It's a one-life game. Only plasma pistols, no grenades, weapons, ghosts are the primary light vehicle, no heavy weapon, no banshee, and a CTF variant. It's a two-flag CTF variant. Or I think so. It says two CTF, one go by two capture two flag or something. Anyways, it's a capture flag variant. If you need more information, just go check out, like, H2 Customs or something. Anyways, there's two people in the blue team. They drive around in ghosts trying to run over the red team. Now, the red team is only safe on rocks, hills, and caves in the base. So, the red team cannot board vehicles or shoot, and the point of the game is to either capture the flag or splatter everyone on the red team. So,
interesting.
Because, you know, if the whole entire red team is dead, and then they win, and the blue team wins because there's no red team members. Well, actually, I think it's gay like that, and make sure you actually play the round and go capture it. But it's play the first three rounds. So. But I guess blue team can't go get the flag until the entire team's dead, though, because I know it'll make you do it if, you know, it's just like that. So just make it the easiest game type, so we're, you know, like, I guess it has to be two flag then, so it's like that. Anyways, that's a cool game type. Thought I'd mention it.
Yeah. Also got one here called Civil War. This is also from Gunai.com. This is kind of cool, and I'll explain why. The object here is to kill your teammates. And this,
sweet.
The reason why this is cool is it's harder than it sounds because you don't get the auto lock to click in when you target your team. You don't get the red reticle, so you can't do you can't do auto aim. You can't lunge with the sword. And the person with the lowest score, most negatives, wins. It's pretty simple rules, but it's kind of cool because it kind of takes away a key feature that's that helps out in the gameplay.
I like that. That's nice.
Yeah. So you can probably guess all the rules, you know, Team Slayer.
Kill your teammates.
Yep.
Sounds fun.
Alright, what else we got here?
I got one here. It's called Sword and Shot. And, let me pick up my notes here on it. I guess you can kind of tell what it is. It's going to be swords and shotguns. But it's like, you know, anyone who super bounces, yeah, it's going to be useless, so... Super Bouncers, this thinks to be you. But what this game type is, it's played up, it's like Lockout and Ivory Tower, and all those good close range web places. And what you'll do is there's no weapons on the map, and everyone starts with the short sword and shotgun. It's just like a regular Slayer game, so.
Yeah. Cool. Let's see here. I got one called Risk/Diplomacy. This looks kind of cool.
Reference to Blue Wars, or I think we mentioned this last week.
It's actually it's not much of a novelty game. This is very cool. The Reverse of Blue Wars, though, you guys. If you haven't listened to the last episode, check it out. I believe it's geocities.com/Red vs. Blue Wars or something like that. I may get that URL wrong. I'm just going from memory on that. But check out the show notes actually from the last episode. You'll see. But this one's called Risk Diplomacy, and it's pretty much territories with 8 territories. It's played on Lockout, Coagulation, Zanzibar, Waterworks, Ascension, Headlong, or Burial Mounds. A lot of different maps can use this. It's an intense and insane variant of territories, and the capture time is 15 seconds, contest time is 15 seconds. So it looks pretty awesome. Every vehicle except Scorpion or tanks, Scorpion tanks or wraiths, human weapons only, and get in there with 12 to 16 people and just go crazy trying to get 8 territories.
Cool. Sweet. I'm ready to play it.
Right on. Well, you got any more?
Yeah, I got one more. Let me put it up here fast. It's,
Me too.
Oh, I think we mentioned it already. It's called Fight Club. But I think we might have mentioned it before. But I'll mention it again anyways.
Okay.
It's a King of the Hill game. And pretty much there's no shield, is damage resistant, so, and then you make the weapons only plasma pistol. So even if you shoot, it's not gonna make a difference. You have to still beat them down. And it's pretty much, and it's like the two guys, they'll fight, or two or three, even more. Some people that you want to fight, they'll fight in the little
In the hill.
In the hill, yeah. And it's like a regular King of the Hill game, pretty much.
It's also called Brass Knuckles. On Gunai.com, because it's all about the melees.
Yeah.
So
you can get your beatdown medals higher. You know, get the medals.
That looks pretty cool. I can imagine it, you know, if you get too many people in there, it get pretty crazy, but that looks definitely like a fun game type. And I got one more called JFK, also from Gunai.com here. This one is, there's two teams, Red, who are the snipers, and Blue, who are the Secret Service. It's a single bomb assault game played on Coagulation, and whoever has the bomb is JFK. He has to stay in the passenger seat of the Hog. Everyone else is Secret Service and must stay with the Hog and defend him. Whoever is driving the Hog must go as slow as possible, sniping weapons on the level, no grenades, and everyone starts with just magnums. And time limit is 5 minutes. Snipers can leave the base and to get more ammo, but can only snipe from the top of or within the base. Snipers win if they kill JFK, and the Secret Service wins if the timer runs out.
Oh, that's so sad. You can kill JFK.
It's sad, yeah. It's pretty creative, I thought. So, thought that was a good addition to the library.
Yep. And I still have some. Still have our segments and stuff. So, you know, the show's not over yet. Yeah.
Definitely not.
So here's. Here's how you can be a part of our show.
Say what? I came back to life for this.
Be a part of the show. Email your own segments at podtacular@gmail.com.
Oh, there's one over here. Oh, ooh, roadkill.
Don't forget to call our listener voicemail, 206-888-HALO.
Hey, guys. Can't Touch a 73 here. Myself and Mr. Naked X came up with a game type the other day called Tag. And I was just thinking, oh, this isn't new, this is old. We played on Coagulation all the time with warthogs and ghosts and stuff. Well, you're wrong, Mr. Know-It-All. Yeah, you're wrong. This is actually played on Lockout. With Team Slayer, friendly fire's off, plasma pistol is primary, magnum is secondary. There's only one team. It's usually red team, doesn't matter. One team, everyone gets on that team. Person that's it always has to have their plasma pistol out so everyone can tell who's it, and everyone else needs to have their magnum out. Everyone else then basically runs away from the guy that's it, and if you get tagged, which is basically getting meleeed by the plasma pistol, you have to look at the ground, or count to five, and then chase anybody you want. The point for the one team is basically so you can't, first of all, you can't kill them, which is really annoying, and second of all, so you can't just hide and then make a hide-and-seek game, basically, so because you can see the icon that's floating above everyone's head. If you fall off the edge, though, because some people just jump off when they're getting tagged, or they're about to get tagged, so they don't have to be it. If you jump off the edge, then you have to, when you respawn, you have to tell everyone that you're it, and you have to count to five, and then everyone knows that you're it, because you jumped off the edge. And however, if you are it, and you jump off the edge, after you respawn, you have to count to 10, or 5, whatever, it's a kind of mutual thing. Because if not, then you spawn right next to everyone else, because of the team. So basically, it prevents everyone from just respawning and tagging someone right when they respawn. It's a pretty fun game. You have to play with people that want to just kind of screw around and just switch to the other team and switch back and end the game. I usually like play Lockout with probably like 8, 10 people is max, not 16 or 14 or anything like that. Alright, have fun, guys. I'll talk to you on Xbox Live. Goodbye, and Godspeed.
Hi, I'm Almighty Nick. That's my gamertag on Xbox Live. And I've got a few tips for snipers. 1. Make sure to have a gun with a scope if you're not good with anything else. 2. Make sure you have a pretty good level of like look sensitivity. But don't go too high or too low. I've got mine at 10, and I can snipe pretty well with it. But it's like your choice. But if you want to get all the way up to 10, don't just go straight to 10. Work your way up little by little. I had mine like on 7 for about 3 or 4, like since I've started playing the game, and I just moved it up to 10. So it takes a while to get used to that, and then you can go faster. It helps you a lot. So you can keep up with people that are moving that fast. Also, be sure to have people like help you and get your back, so that if somebody's trying to, you can have a little bit of warning first, or they can just take the guy out altogether, and so you can focus directly on sniping. But like, if nobody will do that for you and like help you out, then you should probably just keep some plasma grenades and really strong short-range weapon like a shotgun near you at all times. If you run out of sniper ammo, I would probably just hurl a few grenades, go try to find some more, and if you can't, just like grab a battle rifle or something like that, and then you can do the four-shot trick thing that you heard Fumo Jive talking about. Let's see, what else should I say? Like, you can also, help other people from getting killed when you snipe, of course. If you, like, support everybody and try as hard as you can to keep them from getting killed, it'll make it a lot easier to win matches, and even if you can just take their shields down with a shot, even though it's not a headshot, you can still help people get matches, because they'll hear your shot and maybe, like, look behind you. And then they can just take them out with, like, dual SMGs or whatever gun they have. And on that note of, like, helping out other people, I mean, once you help out other people, they'll, like, start to help you out, and you'll, like, want to join your party and stuff. And then you can work together really well, and you'll have a well-oriented team, and they'll, like, listen to directions and stuff really well if you help them out. Because then, like, they help you out, kind of like karma, I guess. That's, like, almost all the tips that I have for sniping right now. So, you can, like, mix that in with your own strategies, guys, and hopefully it'll make some of you better snipers, because sniper's an awesome weapon. Talk to you later.
Well, let's just do these voicemails. Let's get out of here. You've reached the Podtacular voicemail. Please leave any or at the door.
Hey, I hear you guys. This is 101991. You guys are apparently doing a Predator game. Now, that's odd, because now I was about to write an email to send in that game type, but earlier today I had just played a Predator marathon. Apparently we had done every map with Predator, and it was a lot of fun, and I wonder if you guys play the Overshield or the No-Shield type, but if you do, maybe let's get another marathon going sometime. That'd be fun. Podcast Podcast Predator Marathon. So, see you guys online. Frag on.
Hey, you guys, this is me, Race Dude, to talk about a game called Bloody Massacre. It's a really fun game. It was developed by Buckdog. And before I go any further, I just want to say hey to all my friends. But anyway, it's a game called Bloody Massacre. It's sort of a pointless game, but it's pretty fun. What you do is there's one round. The score to win the round is about a 25. And what you do is you have no shields, and you have unlimited lives per round. But every time you die, you lose a kill, which is pretty fun. So basically, you're going around and you're killing everybody. And you can have warthogs and goth warthogs. And you can also, you also get your starting weapon is an energy sword and a sniper rifle. And all the weapons on the map are breach shots. So basically, you're going around, you're killing everybody, but every time you die, you get killed and you lose a life. So I just wanted to say, hey, maybe hope that you guys can get this on the show. So see ya later. And this is Kyle, or AKA Racy.
How you doing, fellas? This is JVB again. I heard you guys wanted an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression of a grunt. So I'll try my best. Here it goes.
Look out. The demon's coming. Get out of here. Get to the Banshee. Run.
Also, I asked for a clan request, but I haven't heard anything. But thanks a lot, guys. And if you want anything else, let me know. JVB out. Bye.
Hey, Texas Bob, and I know you guys are sick of me, but I've got one more game type I have to share with the world. We call it Survive, or Glorg, and it's basically zombies, except all the weapons are map default, so there's no respawn on them. So if you trade for your shotgun, you eventually run out of ammo and get eaten by the zombies. There's also warthogs. And it's best played on coagulation with, like, 16 people. And it's amazing how fast people get killed in warthogs with the zombies' swords. So, yeah. Alright, bye.
Hello, my gamertag is Field of Thunder. And, I got a couple of tips. I noticed that when you're invisible, if you throw a bunch of grenades or shoot a bunch of rockets in a corner, and you go hide in that black stuff you all make, then you'll be more invisible than how you already are. And just use basic things like just play with people you know, because that really helps in matchmaking, because you know everyone's style, and it's really hard to play with strangers. And use plasma grenades, glass cores, or whatever you call those things. And just don't be stupid. Thanks, bye.
Hello, Foo. This is the Dark Radish. I'm out on the campaign trail, you know, kissing hands, shaking babies, that sort of stuff. And you know what? I really like those Halo 2 players. You know, there's some people out there who says that Halo 2 is nothing but a murder simulator, but I have to tell you, if it's a murder simulator, it's a damn good one, because, hell, if the aliens come down, I don't want anybody standing beside you who hasn't played Halo 2. Besides, video games don't make you violent. I've been playing games all my life, especially all the really violent and gory ones. And let me tell you, video games don't make you violent. And if you disagree with me, I'll fucking kill you. And you know what? That's why I'm out here on the campaign trail, because I need your vote in 2008 for president of rocking your ass. VGRemix.libsyn.com.
That was Dark Radish from Video Game Remix over actually the Remix Storm podcast over at VGRemix.libsyn.com, as he said there. Want to send shout outs to Ripped Karma, Volkswagen Mafia, Sean Anderson, Rogue Killa. Big thanks to everyone who makes the show happen. Gaysar, otherwise known as .com. Bully Went Black, otherwise known as Foab. Can't Touch a 73, Mason C2K, Akiri and Joe, who are offline tip testers. Xbox Live tip tester. Can't remember his name right now. And Major Nelson Freeman coming on the show today. We had some errors from recording, so that's why I'm doing this again. If you have any tips, game type strategies, web resources, they'll go to over to www.podtacular.com, post them on our website, or send them to podtacular@gmail.com, and be sure to give us your gamer tag so we can put on the show. Call in segments, tips, and custom games to 206-888-HALO, that's 206-888-4256. Or even better, if you have a microphone, send us an MP3 over to www.podtacular.com, post a comment, a link to it, or email it to us, podtacular@gmail.com. Word to the mommies.